Let's be thankful. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never be the same. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Give your neighbor a high five. Tell him you mean it. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. You can take this opportunity to bring an offering before the Father. I want to thank each and every one that sowed a seed towards the trip. Tremendous blessing. Amen. And we thank you dearly from the depths of our heart. Hallelujah. And may the Lord multiply your seed sown, that you never suffer any lack, but always have an abundant supply. And may the Lord continue to increase you more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Well, you can take an opportunity to come and bring your offering as you have it ready. This Friday, by way of announcements, starting up a new ministry called 10 Times Better. And Deacon Aquino and Sister Kayanani, their hearts have been drawn towards those who are in the grades 4 through 8, ages 8 to 12. And they're going to be meeting with them in their homes and just sharing with them about the power of God, the grace of God, and instilling in them the truth of God's word so that they don't become a victim to society, that they can stand and be strong. They don't have to give in to the peer pressures and things like that. And it comes from Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all. That dealt with the story of Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, known as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were taken away from their home in Jerusalem and then brought into Babylon. And living in that system, they still maintained their integrity to God. Hallelujah. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they still had Egypt in them. And that's got what God was trying to work out of them. But when Daniel and Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael came out of Jerusalem and came into Babylon, they kept Jerusalem in them. Amen. Some of you catch up next week. They remained true to the faith, even though they were in the midst of heathen. And when the king tested them, he found them to be 10 times wiser than all of their peers. So that impartation is going to come upon this generation, ages 8 to 12, grades 4 through 8. And if you know of children within that category, tell them about it in Jesus' name. Amen? There should be some flyers being handed out. It'll be this Friday at 6 p.m. at the Aquino's place in Pittsburgh. Amen? All right. You can see Deacon Aquino or Sister Kayanani for more information. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. All right, are you ready for the word? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Bless the offerings, the seed, the tithes that your people are bringing tonight. Let there be increase coming into their lives, into their homes. May they suffer no lack, but you abundantly supply their every need. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. For the remaining 18 minutes that we have left, we're still, I don't think I covered this last week. If I did, forgive me for the repeat. But we were looking at chapter 5 and how God was saying, you shall walk in the ways, in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. And as I've said, and I want to continue to bring that before you, no one could fulfill the law except Jesus. He was the only one that was able to fulfill God's law, the Ten Commandments, and the other commandments as well. He said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he did that to the letter, to the T. So he fulfilled God's will. And then he took our sin and our punishment on the cross. And he died and gave up his life in our place. He took our shame and punishment. But along with that, he took the law, the handwriting of requirements, as Paul speaks about it in the book of Colossians. The handwriting of requirements that were against us because there was no salvation in it. You miss it in one area, that's it. And so now, having fulfilled that and removed the law out of the way, we still have to have something to live by. And Jesus said this. Let's take a little Bible study real quick. It came out of Deuteronomy, but Jesus said this. Go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Tell your neighbor, this is how you talk to the devil. Praise God. Don't let him play with your mind. Don't let him cause you to think or doubt. That's what he did in the beginning. Hath God said. When you're dealing with the devil, this is how you deal with him. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And when the tempter is the devil. We see that in chapter 4, verse 1. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. So how do we deal with the devil? It is written. What's written? The word of God. I know this is simple, but we're trying to make a point here. When we're dealing with the devil, we don't have to get in discussions or debates. We don't have to get into theories and things like that. We don't have to go into the theory of evolution, okay? Whether it's a fact, whether it's a myth, or we don't have to go into, you know, how old the earth is, or how old the universe is. First, they used to say it was millions of years old. Now it's billions of years old. Now they say they've discovered the first rings, if you will, from the Big Bang. Scientists have actually discovered the initial rings from the Big Bang. Boom! Did I startle you? from that boom, those sound waves or what have you, produced these effects that came out. And then from that, everything in the universe just came into existence. These are some highly educated people with some very sophisticated tools that they come up with this kind of mess. And so they say they've seen the originals, and this is huge to them. You know, this is really big and it's really important because it validates what they believe. It validates the Big Bang theory, if you will. We don't have to get into those kind of discussions as to whether that's true or not. It is written. What's written? In the beginning, God. Okay? In the beginning, God. Yeah. In the beginning, God. That's it. What? In the beginning, God. He was there in the beginning. He is the beginning of all things. All things begin in Him. Who made God? Nobody. He was there. He had to come into existence somehow. Everything came in existence through Him. He's God. Always has been, always is, always will be. God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you confident in that? Hallelujah. So when you're dealing with the devil, it is written. When they come up with some theories, it is written. Yeah, but we got these instruments that tell us those instruments were made by faulty man. Enough said. Or you're too strong in that. You better be strong in something. You better have some kind of a foundation to stand upon. Malcolm X said this. He says, if a man is not willing to die for his belief or his faith, then his faith is in vain. Basically, you got to be willing to stake your life on this truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. So Jesus said to the tempter, who we know is the devil and Satan, the dragon, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, who said this? Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? He asked his disciples, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they went through what the town people were saying about him. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said it with faith and confidence. Who is Jesus to you? Because Jesus has said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So God's word is our lifeline, if you will. God's word is what we live by. God's word is what we stake our claim on. God's word is what we establish and build our lives upon. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone, food, natural things, but by every, say every. Praise God. Every. In other words, everything that God says you can base your life on. Everything that God has spoken, you can live by. In John chapter 10, verse 10, what did Jesus say? He said, the thief comes or came to steal, kill, and destroy, but somebody finish the sentence for me. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I came that you may have life. In other words, I came to bring you the word of life. I came to bring you word that you can live by. Because now that we have Christ's life, when we received Jesus, an exchange took place. We gave our life for his life. Our life itself was dead in trespasses and sins. And we say, Father, here's a dead, sinful life. I give it to you. And Jesus says, and Father, I give my life to them. So there's an exchange. And this life that we have, this life that we live, this life that's been delegated to us, that's been freely given unto us, we live by faith in the Son of God. We live by faith in God's word. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because that's what God's word is all about, teaching us how to live. Hallelujah. Now let's back it up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read to you from the Message Bible. This is the commandment, starting at verse 1. The rules and regulations that God, your God, commanded me to teach you to live out in the land you're about to cross into to possess. This is so you'll live in deep reverence before God lifelong. Now, this is the Message translation. Just trying to break it down a little bit simpler for the average believer, the average reader, if you will, that they can kind of comprehend what God is trying to get across to us. So King James says it like this. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. So this generation don't know much about what I'm about to say, but in older generations, we were taught respect. Respect for our elders. And I don't say it to condemn anybody. I say it to our shame, because at some point, in some place, there was a breakdown in conveying truth from one generation to the next generation. But we were taught early on respect. I've said it before, and it's worthy of repeating. Respect your elders. Respect. You have to respect everybody that was older than you. You have to respect, especially those that lived in your neighborhood. Where did that come from? Respect. That came from God. Hallelujah. And God not only wants us to respect one another, but he definitely wants us to respect him. Hallelujah. You know, now, in our respect, I'll just relate it naturally because you can relate to this. In our respect, for many of us, it was you just didn't do bad things in front of those that you respected. You might still do some bad things, but you just didn't do it in front of those that you respected. You sobered yourself up. Somebody saw you that knew your mama, knew your daddy, and you saw each other on the streets, you straightened right up. We used to hang out in a place called El Pueblo. We called it El Pablo, but it was spelled El Pueblo. And we used to sit out on the grass, and we would be doing things that we shouldn't have been doing. And then when some adult that we knew drove by, we would hide what we were doing out of respect. We didn't want them to see. We didn't want to get in trouble. They didn't see it. So they just thought we were just some good old respectful kids just sitting out there just enjoying, you know, the nice cool day, if you will. But the thing about our Father is he sees everything. There's nothing we can hide from him. And so one of the reasons why God gives us his word is to learn to fear him, to respect him. That's not being taught too much today. It's being spoken, you know, preached, but not being taught. That you learn how to honor and respect your elders, respect authority. You know, the police are not there to harm you. But if you do bad, they're there to do justice, take you in, lock you up, if you will. But they're basically there to maintain order. They're there to be a terror to evil works. That's what the Bible talks about. That's what government is all about. They're there basically to be a terror to evil work. Why? So that society can live in peace and harmony without fear. So that kids can play in the streets. We grew up playing in the streets. We grew up playing football in the streets. We grew up, you know, basketball. You know, we grew up, we had recreation after school. We had so much to do. We could go to the city park and hang out till nighttime and watch baseball games and things like that and, you know, not be afraid of stuff that was going on. Used to be able, and the Bible talks about being able to play out in the streets without any fear, if you will. But there used to be that kind of freedom and liberty that we had that we don't have now. You know, some of us do. You know, we keep an eye on our kid if they're only just 4 feet away from us. Where you at? Where you going? What you doing? Because of the times. But anyways, dealing with the subject of fear, dealing with the subject of respect, we were taught those things early on, and it needs to be taught once again because even though we hid from adults, we can never hide from God. Amen. Thank you for that amen. And so even today, we can't hide anything from him, and God wants us to fear him, not be afraid of him, but simply to honor and respect him. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. It's a very, I won't say familiar passage of scripture. It's one of my special scriptures that I memorized early on and just haven't forgot it to this day. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and good. You know, God is not just looking for evil to go on. He's also looking for some good to go on too. So he's beholding both, if you will. And he wants us to live in such a fear and reverence and respect for him at all times. Because he's in every place at all times. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times, and he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. That's what makes him God. There's nobody like him. Never has been and never will be. Amen? So God gives us this word, and he says, that you may fear the Lord. Hold on. Yes, in the message it says, so that you'll live in deep reverence before God lifelong, observing all his rules and regulations that I am commanding you. You and your children and your grandchildren living good, long lives. That's what God's word does for us. What's that, Pastor? His word causes us to live a good and long life. If we're living a miserable life, we're not living the life that God has ordained or prescribed for us. If we're full of worry and doubt and fear, we're not living the life that God has prescribed for us. If we're stressed out, we're not living the life that God has prescribed for us. If we're not satisfied or complete or whole, we're not living the life that God has prescribed for us. And the thing of it is that, okay, I hear what you're saying, So what am I supposed to do? Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is why God, let's read it. We got to read it. This is why God stressed the reading of it. Listen to this. Listen obediently, Israel. Do what you're told so that you'll have a good life. How many want a good life? Everybody in their right mind does. There's not a single person in here that wants a bad life. God says, listen obediently, do what you're told. In other words, do what the word says do. What is it telling me to do? So glad you asked. A life of abundance and bounty. If we're in lack, it's not the will of God. It's not what he prescribed for us. Just as God promised. In other words, there's an oath in this. In the land abounding in milk and honey. And we can equate that to the United States of America and say, God planted me in the wealthiest nation on the planet called Earth. I could understand the difficulty if I was in somewhere like Sudan or somewhere like, you know, South Africa or one of those, you know, third world countries, if you will, or in China somewhere and just destitute without hope and without God in a place of famine. I could understand that, but we are planted in the wealthiest nation in all the world. That's like Canaan land. That's like the land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, it's flowing with opportunity. Amen. Give me a few more. Attention, Israel. God, our God, God, the one and only. Verse 5. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. That's an instruction. That's wisdom. That's teaching, and it's also a command. He wants us to. Well, how do I love God? And, you know, he's a spirit. He's not a physical being. You take what you have, and you pour that on him, and then you ask him to increase it for him. Amen. Lord, help me to love you the way you desire to be loved. That's all he's looking for. He's looking for somebody to say, how do I do this? Don't ask man. Ask him. Lord, how do I do this? I know a certain level of love. I know human love. So I can operate in that capacity. And God says, that's a good start. That's a real good start. Treat me like you would treat somebody that you love. You know how to love. Whether it's your brother, your family, your mother, whether it's your husband, your wife, if you will. You know how to love in that capacity. Now pour that on. That's a starting point. But see, the thing of it is guess what happened when we received Jesus? Anybody that knows their Bible know what I'm about to say. Guess what happened when we received Jesus? Yes, we have eternal life. But this is what happened when we received Jesus. We have eternal life. The love of God was poured out into our heart. I didn't feel it. Aren't you glad that God didn't say you have to walk by feelings and not by sight? He didn't say walk by feelings. He said walk by faith. In other words, I've given it to you. Believe me. Don't question whether I've given it to you or not. Receive what I've given you. Believe me that I've given you. Believe me that I poured my love into you. Now love me with that love. Love me with that love, and then you'll start to experience what true love is all about. And you'll never settle for anything false, ever, whatsoever. Once you taste of the real, you don't want to go back to the fake. Amen. Some people might like imitation butter. Some people might like the real butter. Some Some people might like real cow's milk. Somebody might like some powder milk. Once you taste the real, you don't want to go back to the fake. So the love of God is poured out into our hearts, is shed abroad in our hearts, and here, by way of the Holy Ghost. You do have the Holy Ghost in you, do you? Or not? Okay. Okay, if you get the Holy Ghost in there, guarantee. So he says, love God, .. Verse 6. Write these commandments that I have given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you, and then get them inside your children. That's how the Message Bible says it. Get it inside of you. Don't just let it sit on the pages, if you will. Don't just let it sit in that handheld computer, if you will. Get it inside your heart. Hallelujah. Read that word. That word is life. Don't read other stuff. When I say don't read it, I don't mean don't read it. You can read stuff that'll help you, but don't let it supplant or replace this. This is God's love letter to you. That other stuff out there is somebody else's experience with God, and you need the real thing, uncut. Hallelujah. No dilution. Don't give me no water down. Give me 100 proof. Amen. I used to be out there. Give me the real deal. Give it to me uncut. And let it work its work in me. Because that's what the word of God will do. So God says, love him with everything. Get his word in your heart. In a love relationship. Did she leave? Pastor Lucia? Okay, I'll just use the Finns. If Brother Finn says, I love you, Sister Shanice, there's a different effect and impact in her life than if Pastor says, I love you, Sister Shanice. She knows my love is for, you know, as a pastor towards the flock. But his love is intimate love. His love is different. And that's how it is with God's love. His love is different. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that I don't love her. It's just when he says he loves her, it does something to her. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It ought to. Praise God. Every husband that tells their wife that they love them, it should do something to them. Amen. It's different from somebody else coming up and saying, I love you. And vice versa. And it ought to be. Because there's a difference in the relationship. And so with God, same thing. When he says, I love you, and when you say you love him, praise God. So, why did I bring love back? Because God says, first, love me. You got to love me. When you love someone, you trust them. When you love someone, you're willing to do whatever to please them. And God says, love me. Love me, because I don't want you to do this thing that I'm telling you to do out of obligation. I don't want you to do it because you feel like you're being forced to. That was a letter. That was a law. Now we're in grace now. Now when God says love him, we can love him. And then when God starts to instruct us, we know that he's instructing us out of love, not out of hate, not out of anger, but out of pure love. And he's only looking out for our best. So when God says this, get this word in your heart. That's out of love. He ain't trying to just, man, I got to read the Bible. 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 Like it's a task or a chore, something that you despise and you don't think much of because you don't think there's much value in that, which means you really don't value the relationship that you have with your God. God is like, I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to communicate to you because we have so much stuff going on in our minds that we can't tune into the right signal to hear him clearly. So God said, at least read my word. There you can, you know, amen. I hope I'm making some sense. I got to get to this other one so I can let you go. Listen, God says, get them inside of you and get them inside your children. Because if we don't, somebody else is going to put something in them. We're all vessels. to be poured into. Listen to this. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. Now, you know what people say today, if we do what God says. And God's children will say this. What do they say? Talk to me, Minister D. That's what they're going to say. I don't want to be around you because all you do is talk about the Bible, talk about the Bible, talk about the Bible, talk about the Bible. Look at what we're saying. I understand when the ungodly say that. But God's own children will say that. And I'm not saying anybody over in that section just because I look over there, you know. Praise God. But this is how we communicate. That's all they talk about is the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Listen to what God says. There's a reason why. When you start talking the word, you start changing the atmosphere. When you start changing the atmosphere, things start to turn and things start to work in your favor, on your behalf, for God's glory. Shift things around. It's the same word that created the heavens and the earth. And God freely gives us this word. So he says, get that word in you. Get it in you. The only reason we would say that's all you talk about is because we ain't been reading the word to get the word in us, so that would be something that we would talk about. So, because see, we've been sucking up soap operas. We've been sucking up, you know, all this other junk, and that's all we know is junk. And the sons and daughters of the Most High God are speaking life, and all we're speaking is junk and death. And we wonder why we're in the situation we're in. Speak the word of life. Hallelujah. Talk about the things of God. Change the atmosphere. Shift this thing. Get rid of depression, oppression, discouragement. All that worldly stuff does is draw demons. Attract darkness. Start speaking life. Start saying, let there be. Praise God. Man, it is heavy in here. Let there be praise. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. My God, I love you. Lord, oh, I love you. I'm going to start off just by saying I love you. You know, it's only appropriate that Brother Finn would tell Sister Shanice that he loves her and vice versa. It's only appropriate. If you have a problem telling your wife or your husband you love them, something's not right. Amen. You really don't know. Something is wrong with the relationship. I don't mean to get y'all in trouble, but you know, you ought to be able to naturally say, I love you. Hallelujah. Because I'm taking it somewhere else. That's just the physical, if you will. But I'm taking it to the things. It's only natural that you would tell your Father, your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Ghost that you love them. It's only natural, because that's all he's telling you and that's all he's pouring out on you. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, it don't matter. He said, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And if I tell Pastor Lucia all day I love her and she don't say I love you back, something's wrong. I better get to the florist or something. I better start doing inventory. What went wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What happened? Yeah, what's going on? Something is not right. And your Father tells you all day long, he loves you. You got an everlasting love. He don't even have to say it anymore, because what he put out there is everlasting. And he's like, try and discover it. Paul tried. He's like, oh, man, the width, the lengths, the depths, the heights, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Man, it'll blow your mind. Hallelujah. And God's doing that all day long. While you sleep, he's doing it. When devils are trying to torment you, Jesus is pouring out his love because you are his son, you are his daughter, and he's trying to get his love on you. Receive of his love. Hallelujah. Whoa. Receive of his love. It's not perverted. It's not tainted. It's not marred. It's not fake. Paul tells us to love without hypocrisy. Love without fake. Love without being phony about the love. Real love, agape love. And so God is saying, I'm loving you. Now, get my word in you. You know? Popeye likes spinach. You might not like spinach, but spinach made Popeye strong. Hallelujah. Sometimes the word may cut. Still get it in you. Amen. Lord, I was wrong, and your word just told me how wrong I was. But I'm going to take that word in me, make sure I don't make that wrong no more. Oh, let me just eat. He said, get it in you. And then he says, and get it in your children. Because I want this to pass down to your next generation. I don't want this to stop with you. I want it to go to your children. Take it to their children and their children and their children. Let it have a rippling effect from one generation to the next. Because I love you. And then he says, get this in you because I want you to go crazy about the words that I taught to you. You know anybody that's ever been in love before. You know that there's something distinct and something very pleasing about the voice of the one that you love. When you hear that voice, you can hear it in a room. You could hear it over a phone. You could be outside and hear it above all the noise, that voice. You could hear it now, and they not nowhere around. Recorded upon the tablets of your heart in your spiritual ears, those same ears that you need to use to hear God. Oh, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not crazy. But you can hear even when nothing's playing because you recorded that sound in memory in your heart. And so God says, my word. Get it in you. Talk about it when you get up in the morning. Saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Talk about it when you go out the door. Talk about it when you go by the way. Talk about it when you're sitting down, when you're rising up. Talk about it when you come home. Talk about it when you go to bed. Talk about my word so you can recognize my voice when I speak to you. Okay, we got to stop. I'm sorry. I've kept you too long. Stand to your feet. He says this. Talk about them wherever you are. So, there's no limits. Talk about it on your job. I'm not saying you got to go and, you know, just shout in everybody's face, but talk about the word. Praise God. Tell them how good your God is. Praise. People are full of complaints. They're full of pain and hurt. And they're looking at you like, what's wrong with you? Don't tell them you had, you know, well, I eat good. I mean, if you do, tell them what you eat in the word, okay? But don't tell them, you know, what is this new diet that I've taken on and it's just doing wonders for me. No. Talk about it in fellowship. And I'm not saying you can't talk about other things, but don't exclude the word. But God's like, talk about it everywhere, in all conversations. Talk about it. Why? Because you're changing the atmosphere. That's another thing, too. The more you speak about it, the Word of God says, so then faith cometh by and hearing by of God. So somebody's faith is being stirred up every time you speak the Word. Even if it's your own, somebody's faith is going to be stirred up just by you speaking the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by that Word of God. He says, talk about it wherever you are, sitting at home, talk about it. Walking in the streets, talk about it. Even if you're by yourself, speak the Word of God. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. I said that to you. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Now, please, don't go into bondage because I say this. Like I said, if you had tattoos and stuff when you were in the world, that's understanding. But now that you're in the kingdom, no more tats, okay? Don't. Those that are so tattoo crazy, Antichrist ain't gonna have no problem with them, giving them the mark of the beast. We have to teach about that sometime. But he's not gonna have no problem with that because it's a craze, it's a fad, and everybody's into it. And when he starts to put that little chip inside people to mark them, sad to say, let alone what God's word says concerning it. He's not a God of condemnation, but he is a God that will teach us his ways. And those are just not his ways. Amen? So, like I said, that's not guilt or condemnation because God hates divorce. So, you know, I've been through that. But there's no condemnation. But I don't make a practice of getting divorced and getting married again. Amen? That makes sense? You learn from that. Don't repeat it. Praise God. So, God says, inscribe them, you know, tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. So he's not expecting us to write the scriptures on our hands, if you will, or tattoo them on our hands and things like that. But God is like this, you know, carry it with you wherever you go. Don't be ashamed. With the hands we work, with the brain, mind we think, if you will. Keep that word ever ready with you wherever you go. The Jewish custom was they wore what's called a phylactery. I think the phylactery went around the head, like a headband, and it had little slots, this leather pouch, if you will. It sticks out on the front of their forehead that they tie around their head, and in it they have scriptures because they know how to work the word. That's why the Jews are so blessed. They still work the word, and the word benefits them. That's why they're very wealthy, if you will. And then they would also tie it around their arm, and they'd have a pouch there, and they'd be able to pull out the scriptures in order to memorize them, in order to speak and declare them. Because God's word is powerful, and it works when we work it. Okay. He says, inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. God is like, let my word have free course in your home. Let my word have free course in your city. Don't be ashamed of my word because my word works. Amen? Amen. Now, you go home and read Psalms chapter 1 and then just start meditating on it and just start speaking it. Speak it over your life on a daily basis. I'm blessed. Why? Because I'm not standing in the path of the ungodly. I'm not sitting in the seat of the scornful. And I'm not, I forget how he says it. I'm not walking in the path of the ungodly, nor standing in the seat of the scornful, nor sitting in the seat, dot, dot, dot. You read it. I can't quote it right now. But you just start speaking that over your life on a daily basis. I am blessed, and I will not do this, and I will not do that, and I will not do that. Why? Because that'll bring me under the curse. I want to walk in the blessing. My delight is in the law of the Lord. I have a joy and pleasure in his word. And then start speaking it, start working it on a daily basis, and watch things start to turn around. Amen. As long as we speak worldly stuff as the people of God, we ain't going nowhere. We start speaking and declaring the word of God, and we're going to see things change. Atmospheres change, climate change, situations change. It's going to change and line itself up with the word. How do we know that? Because that's what happened when God spoke it in the beginning. everything lined up with this word. In the beginning, there was chaos. The world was without form and void, which meant there was chaos, and God began to speak. And as God speak, that word caused everything to line itself up in orderly arrangements, like a master with this masterpiece. Amen. Love you all. Father, thank you for this time. And give your people perfect rest tonight as they go and lay down. And Lord God, may you be glorified in all that we do in word and in deed. Release the power of your blessing upon the lives of your sons and daughters, that we don't speak your word in vain. We don't pray your word in vain. And so I declare over each and every one of you, over every person that's a part of this work, that the Lord our God, El Shaddai, bless you, and the Lord keep you, and make his face, his countenance, shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you to enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that above all else you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, that's been spoken over your life, and that's been spoken into your spirit, and you're supposed to live and experience it now. Amen? From this moment forward, from the time it's spoken, things are supposed to line themselves up. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Love you all.